The Anchorage of One's Soul. A Nine Worlds Story. Written by Calibros and read by Calicuria. This story has been rated for audiences teen and up, contains the pairing Artoran Damara, also known as Fitzroy Angersaw, with Cleofer Kit Madang, and has been tagged No Archive Warnings Apply. Additional tags for Retirement House, Feelings Realization, Love Confessions, Canon Typical Pining, Spoilers for Artoran Damara's Secret Name, Friendship, Kissing, Spoilers for Tower at the Edge of the World, Meddling. During their first month all together at the house, Ludvig, Roden, and Konju each took a turn at taking Kip aside and asking him about his feelings. Ludvig was the last, and really didn't seem to want to be having the conversation, which annoyed Kip more than anything else, because then why? And of course, he knew the answer. "None of you were listening to me," he said. "Yes, of course I have feelings about him. So do you. So do all of us. We talk about these feelings regularly. Why are you asking me as if it's some terrible secret? The taboos are lifted. Our work is done. We live together. We're allowed to be friends. The Uranatha aren't going to come after us." Ludvig looked at him balefully, the expression of a cat being put in a situation beneath his dignity, and shook his head. "It seems as if your feelings were a little bit more." Kip snorted. "Enough innuendo, Ludvig. You asked me once how deeply I loved him. Are you asking me now if I'm in love with him?"
"Yes. Are you?"
Neither Konju nor Roden had been as direct. Kip gaped for a moment.
"Honestly? We all know you feel strongly for him."
"A great many people feel strongly. Ludvig, he's worshipped by people the world around. It's hardly..."
But that was not the right tack to hit, and he knew it. He paused, shook his head, and said firmly, "What I feel for him, my loyalty, my affection, is nothing more or less than he has earned." Ludvig sighed. "I'm not accusing you of anything," he said, and Kip realized there was at least a touch of hurt in his voice.
"I know," Kip said. I don't know why everyone thinks it has to be anything other than just..."
He shrugged, uncomfortable, because he didn't want to call what he felt for his lord just anything, and perhaps that was what they were all talking about.
That conversation, and the two longer and more circuitous ones that had preceded it, rattled around in Cleofer's head for nearly another month before the edges smoothed out enough for him to recognize what they were shaping into. He liked to think he was a smart man, but he knew, also, that he had the Madang stubbornness and surfeit, and when he had decided not to know something, it was nearly impossible to talk himself out of it. Exhibit A, Fitzroy Angersaw. He was never, ever, going to let himself live that down. But during that month, he noticed the moments when his friend's eyes softened on him. He noticed the flashing exchanges of looks, a mingled frustration and sadness and shared humor. And he was not so dull as to fail to see the pattern. One, two, three times, he might have told himself they were seeing what they had chosen to see. This was not one, two, or three times. This was... Sometimes it seemed like a constant, like the background noise of a rill of spring meltwater, a rill that carved through solid rock, given long enough. There were moments when they bent their heads together over a book or a project of some kind, when his radiancy thrilled at being asked for something, and Kip had to bite his lip to hold in tears once their lord's affection was occupied by the task at hand, and realized too late he had forgotten that there was anyone else in the room to see him well up. There were moments when they exchanged knowing looks, Kip and Tor, when Ludvig beamed upon being given the responsibility of the ornamentation on the railing of the back stairs, or when Roden asked for feedback on something he'd cooked for them. When they all traipsed home after a difficult dinner with Kip's mother, his radiancy's steps veered such that he stumbled against Kip, and when Kip caught him and put an arm around his shoulders and teased him about not having a head for drinking. But sometimes there were moments that Kip might not even have noticed,
if not for those looks. Whenever someone suggested Kip might help with a problem outside of the household, his radiancy would move quietly towards him, taking on a protective stance. Sometimes he didn't even see the exchange of looks, but he knew it must be happening. There had been once in particular, a day when Tor had left before dawn without telling any of them, intending, as they later learned, to surprise them with breakfast and gifts from the Dawn Market. He had returned cheerfully half an hour after dusk, eager to share both the kiwi fruit and the story of his misadventure, to find them looking up from where they had been miserably ensconced in the downstairs parlor, Kip and Rodin and Ludwig entirely convinced that he had left for another adventure without telling them, Kanju fiercely insisting that the only footwear missing from the frantic inventory he had done of his Radiancy's dressing room was a pair of sandals that he simply would not have chosen to adventure in. "You see?" Kanju had said as Tor paused in the doorway, and Ludwig and Rodin had looked guiltily relieved, but Kip had leapt to his feet and crossed the room at half a run and swept his startled friend into an embrace. And then he had thought, "Gods, they're looking at me like that again, aren't they?" A handful of days after the Dawn Market incident, Rodin had entered the kitchen mid-morning to find Kip holding a mug of coffee and staring at the remaining kiwi fruit on the counter.
"Good morning," Rodin said. He was clearly trying not to sound amused, and clearly, clearly failing.
"Suppose you were right," Kip said, sharp-edged. "Suppose you were possibly right."
"About?"
"Closeness," Kip said, with very tired air quotes. "Feeling strongly. I forget which of the euphemisms you used." Rodin's eyes went wide.
"Suppose we were right," he said, as if perhaps he'd misheard.
"Do you mean hypothetically?"
"No, not hypothetically," Kip thundered, as scathing as he could manage. "I feel strongly about the damned fruit, and it wasn't the fruit's fault. I don't know why I didn't..."
"Wait," Rodin said, with a hint of pleading. "Just take your coffee and go up to the sitting room. Sit in one of the window seats for a few minutes and breathe. I need to... just... scream into the void."
"Yes, I understand," Kip muttered, and did as he was told, and was just starting to feel slightly more awake and wholly more mortified when Rodin re-entered the sitting room with Kanju and Ludwig at his heels, and oh no, this was not what he had intended. This was not what he needed right now.
"No, no, no," he said, and drained his coffee, fortifying himself.
"I don't... what did you..."
"Haven't we established that I am the worst at these conversations?" Rodin asked pleadingly, and then looked abashed. "I mean, you weren't there for that part, but we did."
"Really, Cleofer, going to Rodin?"
Kanju said, tart and cutting as ever, and Kip barked out a panicked laugh.
I didn't go to Rodin. Not that I wouldn't, I mean, but I was just drinking my coffee, and he was there, and I don't know what to do, but I don't... it was a moment of weakness. I'm not ready for this to be..."
They hadn't closed the door behind them, and Kip was making for it, determined to walk out, to go somewhere else and clear his head. Except, when he reached the doorway, he found his Radiancy at the top of the stairs, frozen and guiltily horrified, like a child caught out of bed.
"My lord," he said, and ignored the very loud, ringing silence from the others.
"I didn't mean to interrupt."
Tor gestured toward them.
"Whatever this was."
"No, it's nothing. There was nothing to interrupt," Kip said, and fled.
He spent the day on the water, trying to empty his head of thoughts, but for someone who is ordinarily so good about choosing not to think about things, he was remarkably unsuccessful. He was quite sure that no matter how long his Radiancy had been standing at the top of the stairs, nothing any of them had said had been incriminating, and he was nearly certain that his friends wouldn't divulge his secret, not unless Tor begged them, and Kip didn't think he would. But he had to admit that he didn't know what Tor would do. He stayed out past lunch,
wondering if his friends were keeping something set aside for him. He stayed past dinner, and past dusk, and finally stopped on his way home to get a skewer of grilled chicken and pineapple. He was halfway back when he realized that he'd been given the one with the mild seasoning typically reserved for Velio palates, which irritated him almost as much as the realization that he actually liked it better. You couldn't taste the delicate caramelization on the pineapple on the traditional skewers. Kanju was in the downstairs parlor, sitting on a fainting couch under an ornate reading lamp with a book sitting closed on his lap. It was obvious that he was on watch, on Kip duty, and Kip's temper flared at the idea of being managed so, but Kanju raised a hand before he could speak, and Kip faltered. Kanju looked tired. "Are you all right?" he asked Kip quietly. "Have you eaten?" "Yes, and yes." "Good," he said, calm as ever. "I'm sorry we upset you this morning. Rodan feels terrible. He thought you had wanted to talk, and he was worried that he would make a mess of things." Kip raised an eyebrow, and Kanju sighed, and nodded in acknowledgement. "His... Fitzroy... he didn't ask anything, except if you're all right." "And you said yes, I trust." "Yes." "All right." Kip scrubbed a hand across his face. "I don't want to talk about it. Not now, anyway. Not tonight." "I didn't think you would. The others have retired, in any case. For the moment, is there anything I can do for you? To help?" "No," Kip said. "Thank you, Kanju." He had meant to go to bed, but instead he found himself on the roof, above the second floor balcony overlooking the courtyard. It was the stretch of roof where the slope was mildest, so he could lie on his back and look at the stars without having to dig in his heels to keep from sliding on the tiles. He had approved the designs for re-roofing this part of the building, and he was pleased to find that the clay bits did seem to retain some of the warmth of the sun. Unless that was another piece of Tor's magic. A susurrus of curtains and the creak of the window announced Tor's presence, as instantaneously as if he had been summoned by the thought. It was lucky, Kip thought, that thinking of Tor did not actually alert him. He wasn't sure Tor would appreciate a near-constant summons. He waited until Tor's voice rose up behind him, soft and clear.
"Would you like company?"
he asked, and Kip tilted his head back to see, upside down, his lord haloed in the window frame. He gestured. "Come on, then." And Tor huffed, possibly a laugh, and clambered out, briefly and gainly as he folded himself through the window. Kip patted the tile at his side, and the sun on earth came to sit beside him, spending a moment with his elbows on his knees looking out at Gorgio City, before sliding down to lie at his side.
"If you decide you want to be alone, I don't mind," Tor said.
"I don't mind when it's you," Kip said.
"The others reassured me that you're all right. I believe you would tell me if you were in some sort of trouble, wouldn't you?"
"Yes."
"Good. I didn't intend to eavesdrop. You should know. I don't know if it matters. I didn't hear much of what you were saying."
"I have no idea what I was saying," Kip admitted.
"What I heard was just, you said you didn't know what to do, and something about a moment of weakness and not being ready."
Kip let out a long breath. It wasn't incriminating. But if he had heard one of his friends say such a thing, it would be damnably hard not to wonder what the hell he was talking about. They lay silent for a while. Kip watched the stars and thought about what they had been through, and after a while Tor said,
"I love the stars. Do you remember the day I told you to take your vacation? The one where you saw the house at La Suya? I came out of my study and you were looking at the map. And I told you about the tower."
"Yes," Kip said. "Of course."
"The stars were..."
He made a sweeping gesture.
"The whole of the heavens, of course, but then down, too, into the abyss. I think sometimes that I didn't appreciate it as much as I ought to have.
A face. Such a face he made at that. But the explanation came so quickly after that Kip didn't have time to wonder.
That might have been the enchantments.
Distaste. An afterthought of anger. Then, wry.
Or it may have just been the mind of a young man. We are so prone to taking things for granted at that age.
You've never spoken of the enchantments, Kip ventured.
Haven't I? No, I suppose I wouldn't have.
He hesitated.
I don't actually know that I've ever told anyone about them, actually. I might have mentioned it to one of the priest wizards, I suppose, at the beginning.
Kip all but held his breath, gaze on his radiancy's still face, and finally he said,
It was an enchantment of blind obedience. I was cursed, or blessed, I suppose, is how they saw it. Never to question my place, never to question my world, never to think for myself. I was placid.
He practically spat the word. For how long? Kip asked, blood pounding in his ears, heart thudding in protest of his conviction that had been savaged somehow, ripped out of him and stomped upon.
I'm not completely sure, to be honest. Something like 2 years.
Tor turned his head, and then turned his whole body, lifting himself up onto his elbow.
Kip!
Kip stared at him uncomprehendingly, and Tor made an aborted half-gesture towards him.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
Ah. He was crying. He wiped his face with one sleeve. Don't worry about me. I want to know these things, if you want to tell them.
It was centuries ago. I'm all right.
I know. They were quiet for a moment, and Tora rolled to lie on his back again, but kept his gaze on Kip. He seemed to be waiting for Kip to say something more, so finally he managed. It's just terrible to think of you like that.
It wasn't terrible when I was living it,
Tora said quietly.
It was peaceful, and it was a lot easier to not know, you know. I could have just stayed ignorant, and it wouldn't be better, but it would have been...
Kip's throat felt raw, but at this, for a moment, he felt a pinprick of indignation.
Are you trying to get me to confess?
He asked.
No, no,
Tor said, at the same time as Kip finished.
Because I might. I was just...
Tor said, and gestured blankly at the stars. Then he took a deep breath and looked away.
It is something about me, then. I thought I was being dreadfully paranoid. But when one's housemates meet and pace and talk in such fierce tones and one is not invited...
It's really about me, I'm afraid, Kip said. They're trying to be helpful, but they... None of them are like me, so it doesn't quite...
Ah, well, I understand something about that. If it helps.
Kip looked at him sidelong, again slightly pinched with annoyance, but there was no guile in the lion eyes. He sighed. I suppose it is about you, at that. He admitted quietly. And I'm not afraid to tell you, but I worry that... It's not that I think you'll be angry with me. I know you better than that. But I worry you'll misunderstand. That you'll think it's about him.
Who?
Kip paused.
You.
Oh. Tor said.
You mean Fitzroy Angersau?
Kip nodded.
And it's not?
No, it's... I didn't know before, but it's not because of that. It's not about that. He wasn't explaining this well, at all, but somehow it felt important to say. It's not about someone I read about in books. It's about you.
All right, Tor said. Well, I really didn't intend to convince you to tell me about it, but now I am imagining all sorts of things that you could be talking about, and...
I have feelings, Kip blurted. About you.
About me?
For you.
Ah.
Tor sat, and Kip was staring at his face, mesmerized, trying to read the lines of it, beneath the warmth and the humor he knew so well.
That was, in fact, what I thought you might be winding up to, and I was having a terrible time trying to talk myself out of hoping.
His mouth was dry. Hoping?
That you had feelings. About me. For me.
Tor hesitated.
What kinds of feelings? Are we talking about the kinds of feelings that...
Love, Kip said. I love you.
Tor turned very deliberately back onto his side, facing Kip.
I know,
he said, and his voice was strange.
Kip, I know that. You told me that years ago, on the airship back from Lesua. I kept myself sane with that sometimes.
Tor tipped his head and recited, in a low, smooth chant, like a prayer.
I may not touch you. I may not kiss you, or embrace you, or grasp your arms, or your knees, or your feet. I may not lay my hands on your shoulders when you are sad, or clasp your hands with you when you are jubilant. My lord, my Tor, if you were my brother or my cousin, I could not love you more.
Kip was still staring, mouth half open. Tor frowned.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to say I love you, too.
Kip turned his face back to the stars, and the tears welled up in his eyes and flooded over, slipping down his temple towards his ears. Tor drew in a quiet breath, and his fingertips touched Kip's upper arm, tentative.
Kip,
Tor said, and oh, the aching in his voice.
Did I? Have I never said that? I...
Kip swallowed hard and wiped his face again, careful not to dislodge the hand on his arm. In a manner of speaking, he said, you have called me your friend, of course, and your most beloved servant, and during the regency ceremony, I heard you name me to the magic as beloved, and you know I know nothing of magic, but I could only assume that even you would not dare to name me in haste or in precision. That is, that you would not name me anything but what I am. And Ludwig told me the day Pally came back, after you sent me away, when he was trying to persuade me to come back, Ludwig said you loved me as a brother. But that's not why... Well, it is. It is lovely to hear you say it in plain terms, but I think I mean something different. Tor looked puzzled.
I don't think so,
he said faintly, and then sat upright, tucking his legs beneath him and turning to face Kip. Kip sat too, heart still too tender for words, and watched as his radiancy seemed to search for words.
Kip,
he said finally, pleading,
let me try to tell you what I mean, and what I think you mean. When I say I love you, I mean that even before we began the purification ceremonies, my magic knew you, because when I entered any room of people, I would reach out to see if you were there.
His mouth twisted in a brief, wry smile.
I didn't even know that I was doing it at first. Ludwig was the one who pointed it out to me, actually. When I was gone, I thought about you when I needed strength. I thought about you when I woke in the night and wasn't sure if I was who I needed to be. But I knew, you had made sure that I knew, that I was who I needed to be for you, so I couldn't want to be anything but what I was.
He shook his head.
You told me once, years ago, about an island being the anchorage of one's soul, and I stared at you like an idiot because I thought to myself, you must be my island. I wish sometimes that I could introduce myself in relation to you. That day when I went to the Dawn Market, I wanted it so desperately, but I couldn't think how to do it. What else can I tell you? Now that the world isn't held between our hands, I like to measure the goodness of a day by how you seemed at the end of it. A day that I don't see you isn't even worth measuring. It's not a real day. I'm deliciously feral about you, Kip. And then he took a deep breath, looking that same bright combination of euphoric and dizzy that he had after doing any of his great magics, and continued. Of course, it's also possible that you were trying to say none of that, and that you were in fact trying to find a way to say you would like to go to bed with me. In which case I should probably stop talking, but I should also let you know that I am, in essence, amenable to whatever arrangement of sharing your heart, mind, spirit, body, bed, future, or family you are interested in, as long as it makes you giddy with joy to think about it. Because that's what I feel about you, and I will accept nothing less than to be the purest source of your delight, as you are mine.
Tor paused and blinked, slightly dazed.
That was not my best poetry.
It had its moments. Kip sat, trying to breathe.
Please tell me what you are thinking.
Yes. I'm not thinking very much, I'm afraid. I'm rather...
The bed part of things is completely optional. I'm rather embarrassed to admit I'm not sure of your inclinations in that regard. But I do quite like holding your hands. If it doesn't make you uncomfortable, of course. No, I'm sorry. I know it doesn't. Or it didn't. But if knowing that I...
Tor, Kip said. And then, because it was important suddenly to give him the respect of the name he had chosen for himself.
Fitzroy. Stop.
I meant yes.
Oh.
He blinked.
To all of it.
Heart, mind, spirit, bed, body, future, family.
Body, bed. It's body, bed. It sounds better that way.
Kip snorted. I was thinking of it in order, he said primly.
So was I. I think we've had the first three covered for quite a while, wouldn't you say? So, can I...
He raised his eyebrows. Can you...
What?
Body? Kip teased, grinning helplessly.
Oh.
Fitzroy huffed, and climbed forward to tip his forehead against Kip's. He was warm and lively, beautiful, breathless, and wild-eyed. He tilted in, and Kip caught his breath, and then they lingered there, and Fitzroy whispered.
Can I?
You can, Kip said, and kissed him. It had been, by the march of time in the Palace of Stars, hundreds of years since Kip had kissed anyone. Fitzroy, on the other hand, had at least the moon within the last decade, and possibly quite a lot more in the past year, if adventuring with the Red Company had been anything like it was in songs. So Kip could not tell whether it was a good kiss, in the sense of whether or not either of them were showing any kind of style. But it was theirs, and it was... It was Fitzroy making an urgent noise and nearly overbalancing, and Kip's hand on his waist to steady him, and then it was a break for a few heavy, giddy breaths before diving back in. Kip let himself fall back against the roof tiles and pulled Fitzroy with him, hands gripping the outer robe, and then Fitzroy, practically in his lap, pulled back and gave a few quick, soft kisses like joyful percussion.
Lovely,
Fitzroy breathed.
So... Just to be clear, you did mean...
They were all asking if I was in love with you. He couldn't keep the petulance out of his voice.
Well, I doubt very much that any of them are ignorant of my perspective on the matter, so I can't say I entirely object to their meddling, although I am sorry that it upset you.
Are you saying they knew that you...
I have not been precisely subtle, my dear Kip.
He started to reach for Kip, and then hesitated. Kip reached out and took his hands. Nails lacquered a lovely jade green. Kip had loved the gold, but somehow loved this even more. and brought the gesture to completion, drawing Fitzroy's fingers to his cheek. He nuzzled his face into that soft palm, letting the long fingers slide into his hair, and closed his eyes. "This was as much as I dared to imagine," he whispered, a confession that seemed as fraught as anything they'd said already, and opened his eyes. Once he was sure Fitzroy wouldn't withdraw, he let go and cupped his lord's beloved cheeks between his own palms. "I thought about it. About, when it was all said and done, how you might want to be touched. And you did give me the chance to embrace you, that day in your study, as long and as privately as I dared."
"And you did dare,"
Fitzroy murmurs. It is as clearly a precious memory for him as it is for Kip, which is a relief. For a moment, he had started to wonder if it had been disappointing. "So far, and no further," Kip remembered sadly, and almost regretted it with the twist of Fitzroy's lips.
"I would have died of longing if you hadn't held me like this before I left,"
he said seriously.
"I can't regret it. I hope you won't either."
He rubbed a thumb on Kip's cheekbone, as one might polish an apple, and then leaned back, letting his hands drop.
"Let's go back inside."
They climbed back through the window, and then Fitzroy laced his fingers into Kip's and looked at him with a curious sort of gleam in his eyes, as if saying, "What next?" "Bed?" Kip suggested, and Fitzroy's luminous smile was answer enough. The end. Thanks for listening.